Ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere on the great Llano Estacado, it's the one who tells it like he sees it. The one who thinks it's rude not to talk about politics and religion. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, too many Republicans in the Texas State House seem to owe their allegiance to local school bureaucracies than to voters and the good of Texas, both, not just the political side of it, but the overall good of the state. They owe their allegiance to school bureaucracies. Preferring a socialist model for public education, those buffoons are funding and protecting the very institutions where the left is using successfully to destroy us and Western civilization. If school choice is to pass, you're going to have to hammer on some of your state reps really hard, ladies and gentlemen. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, get right with the rules. Get your random drug testing program, your required program, lined up with Allied Compliance Services. You'll be a valued client. They'll be on call to help you when you need it. Reach them at AlliedCompliance.com. We've got a look at the Texas manufacturing sector outlook out from the Dallas Fed. A couple of big political stories in the state. And we remember the Mexican massacre of Texian soldiers this day, the 27th of March, during the Texas Revolution in 1836, the impetus for the phrase, remember Goliad, it wasn't remember the Alamo, it was remember Goliad, remember the Alamo, remember Goliad, shouted in the Great Charge at San Jacinto in late April. We'll talk about that later. And my friends, don't forget, you can listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and other interviews at prattontexas.com. A couple of big political stories today. One is a big, big political story for people who have been around Texas politics a long time. I'm not even sure that some of the talk show hosts and other people even know what this is about because they don't seem to know much more than a couple of years, and they think that's knowledge. But you know what? It's a big story, but it really doesn't affect many of you. The Texas Observer is going to halt publication after 68 years. They're laying off all their staff. They apparently leaked this all out to the media through the Texas Tribune before they'd even spoken to their staff members about it. So it was typical nastiness. The kind of thing that these lefties tell people that big evil Republicans do. The Observer, if you don't know, they don't take advertising. No. They're a bunch of lefties. And they have about 4,000 print subscribers still. It says they have 64,000 subscribers to their free email newsletter. So that probably means half that number of deliverable email addresses to actual people. And then a quarter of that might read it. I'm just telling you, I've been in the direct email business since it started. It's the numbers can be deceiving. So March 31st is going to be the end. They're headquartered in Austin. It was founded way back in the 1950s, 1954, by Ronnie Duggar. He served as editor until 61. That's where Molly Ivins wrote in the early 70s, and the lefties love it. The Texas Observer, though, you have to understand, was founded at a time when the Democratic Party was not in the clutches of the extreme far left. Most Democrats were still anti-communist, pro-America, and they were for big government and a welfare state, but it was a different kind of thing. The Texas Observer was founded by the urban, it was the old split, the Democratic Party, the far left-wing liberal and anti-American lefties that were congregated in a few of Texas cities to take on other more centrist Democrats in the states, and it was part of the big plan to wrest power away from mainstream Democrats for the left. They were largely successful. I'm not sure that they themselves had a lot to do with that, but so that's a big political story that the Texas Observer closing up shop. It's the real question that none of these news stories I looked at about it say is, why would the people need it when the same donors are funding the Texas Tribune and almost every one of the state's newspapers? You know, there aren't conservative major, you know, old-fashioned city newspapers anymore. Why does this is the point. The Observer's not needed. I mean, the public radio stuff gets taxpayer subsidized. It's all far left. They run their own statewide organizations too, cooperatively, funded by taxpayers. They're far left. The newspapers are far left. The editorial pages are far left. The reporters are far left. And the Texas Tribune pulls this same model. We don't take advertising, blah, blah, blah. And they're funded by the same big donors. I mean, the donors finally figured out, why in the world are we still giving big checks to this group? I can tell you in 17 years, I've only quoted probably half a dozen to a dozen stories out of the Texas Observer in this show. And yet it was once, if you wanted to see what the left was thinking about in Texas, it was the go-to thing. And it's just been worthless. And that, I guess the donors and their board of governors or whatever they called them, their board of directors figured this out. So they're gone. And then get this. The near brain dead, utter embarrassment for the state of Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, you know, member of Congress for the 18th District of Texas down in Houston, former Houston City Councilwoman back in the early 90s, crazy woman who says incredibly ridiculous things in front of big audiences, worse than Joe Biden, actually, and who is a far left-winger, identity politics player and all of that. She's announced she's jumping in to the race for Houston mayor that'll be held this next November. November, it's not one of these May elections. It'll be on the November cycle. Now, right now, State Senator, the Dean of the Senate, John Whitmire of Houston, Democrat, is the front runner. There are a lot of people in this race for Houston mayor. The general take on all of this is that Sheila Jackson Lee will make it awfully entertaining. But it also really does put a seismic shift in this race for the mayor of the state's largest city and the nation's fourth largest city at a time when that city has got all kinds of serious troubles, from budget to law enforcement and everything else. And she's a big lefty, but not even one of these policy, you know, these wonkish lefties that actually might know how to do something. I mean, she's just brain dead. And it's rather interesting that Sheila Jackson Lee, of all people, would jump into this race, this big race for Houston mayor. Those are two big political stories today, my friends, that every true Texan needs to know about. Shifting gears, the Texas Manufacturing Outlook Survey's out from the Dallas Fed saying activity expanded slightly in March after contracting in February. Manufacturing activity showed mixed signals this month. Perceptions of broader business conditions continued to worsen in March. General business activity index slipped. The company outlook index remained negative. Labor market measures suggest a resumption of employment growth and continued lengthening of work weeks. Private price and wage pressures receded, but it's still at high levels. And expectations regarding future manufacturing activity were mixed in March. The future production index remained positive but fell, signaling well below average output growth as expected over the next 6 months. The future general business activity index pushed further negative. So after actually going into recession last month in the Dallas Fed's report, the manufacturing sector turned around but just barely moving forward and not doing well at all. Rackspace in San Antonio is laying off 4% of its employees, and their leader's talking about the general economic decline. Of course we're in one. Absolutely. Back in a moment with more on Pride on Texas.
Pride on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
Do you have a commercial property for sale or lease? Tired of a for sale sign gathering dirt, storm, dust in front of your place with no activity and no prospects? Office, retail, restaurant, or industrial? Call me, Carl Tepper, a commercial agent with Exit Realty of Lubbock. I'm low on inventory because I've sold and leased everything. I'll get your property sold too. Call me, Carl Tepper, at 806-470-2354 for an no-obligation appointment. That's 806-470-2354.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Need attachments on your skid steer to street sweep, pallet forks, brush cutter, snow blades, or land levelers? West Texas Attachments can help you today. West Texas Attachments is your go-to on all skid steer attachments. Rent or buy, westtexasattachments.com has attachments for every type of skid steer job. Rock and brush attachments, manure forks for dairies and cow lots. WestTexasAttachments.com delivers when you need it. Go to WestTexasAttachments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan in chief, Texas political swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. One little headline there, Mission Police arrest two police officers. This is from Valley Central. Mission Police Chief Torres confirms the arrest of Officer Arturo Casanova. The chief says Casanova was arrested on South Padre Island for disorderly conduct, so he probably, I don't know, joined the throngs of drunks down there. Alamo Police Chief Osuna confirmed the arrest of Sergeant Aiden Beltran. Beltran was arrested at 7 a.m. Saturday morning for public intoxication and was found sitting in a stolen car. No other details on that arrest have been released. Two police officers arrested in the Rio Grande Valley. Our Lone Star story of the day, my friends, has to do with school choice and the fact that it's not looking good in the Texas House. It looks good in the Senate. It's going to take a lot of work to get this done, and yet this is fundamental. As I said earlier, it's more important than tax cuts. It's more important even than a good budget, frankly. Because the public schools are now the primary playing field in which our society is being stolen out from under us. Not only are the students not being educated at just basics, and that's a fact. I heard a story this weekend, as a matter of fact, from an elected official who appeared before a local public school and just last week, and nobody there, the kids didn't know who we fought in World War II. They had no idea. They didn't even know who the two sides were in the Mexican-American War. They weren't, what else did he tell? A whole bunch of these kind of questions you often see. This was a big school in Lubbock that the population thinks is good. No, they're not even being educated in the basic things, but they're being heavily indoctrinated in leftism and all these woke policies. That's why the school choice issue is just fundamental. Plus, the entire culture, the entire idea of the community-based public school, you know, it's a government school. It bothers some people. I don't know why. I guess because truth always hurts. The Bible certainly teaches us that. But public schooling, the way it's done in Texas, is socialism. It's the adoption of the Marxist socialist model. And people think it was always that way. It certainly wasn't. These are government, it's government owning the means of production, the service, and controlling that. This model is not serving us well, and its cultural model has certainly broken down. Folks, this is just today's press review. These following headlines: the two cops getting arrested were the only things that weren't involving a school. Listen to this. This is from Aaron Anderson, Texas Scorecard. A special education aide at Legacy High School in Mansfield ISD joins the growing list of educators accused of sex crimes against students. Diego Barona, 35, was arrested in Tarrant County in charge of sexual assault of a child younger than 17 years of age. The arrest happened in February. The story's out today. Supposedly assaulted a student back in early January sexually. Hidalgo ISD principal arrested on campus grounds. Investigation underway. Gabriela Gonzalez reporting this by Valley Central, which is KVEO in the Rio Grande Valley. Hidalgo ISD principal arrested Friday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Their early college high school, it's one of their big high schools, principal, Rafael Tinoco, was arrested on campus on charges of tampering with a witness. Next story by Mia Flores at the same media outlet. Today, Hidalgo early college high school head football coach arrested Friday evening. Officials say Monte George Stumbaugh was arraigned on Saturday on charges of assault causing bodily injury, according to Hidalgo County records. The Wichita Falls Times-Record News today, so you jump over 700 miles or so the other way. Former Wichita Falls High School choir director pleaded guilty Friday to having sex with a student. Christopher Glenn Jarvis pleaded to a felony charge of improper relationship between an educator and a student. As part of the plea deal, he gets 6 months in the Wichita County Jail and then 10 years of probation. Aaron Anderson back at the Scorecard, a story breaking today. An athletic trainer who resigned from Belton ISD last year after he was caught watching child pornography while on campus in view of students has again delayed his trial. He's one of multiple Belton ISD educators charged with sexual misconduct in recent years, including a middle school orchestra director who's now in prison for distributing child porn. Trevor Swift, 56, accused of viewing porn during school last May. U.S. Marshals arrested him. He's delayed his trial 7 times, and now a judge late Friday allowed him for a continuance now till May or June. And this continues, and we get these stories all the time. So even at just the sociological or the community sense, these public schools have abandoned their place in society. They're not a place for you to role model good values and things for your students. Doesn't mean everybody in these places do these things. It certainly doesn't mean that other forms of schools don't have the same type of fallen human beings in them that do terrible things. But what it does mean is that it's time for people to pop the balloon of this, I don't know where it comes from, this cultural bubble that, which I never had. I didn't enjoy school, and I noticed a lot of bad stuff going on around me even when I was in elementary school. And that's 40-something years ago, beginning 50 years ago just about. This bubble that, oh, the schools, it's all so wonderful. It's not. And there's simply no reason to have this kind of attachment to a socialist enterprise, which is what the public school model we currently use is. The Constitution requires that we provide a system of public education. That doesn't mean that it has to be government owned or anything else. Now, we have that system and that's going to stay in place. It seems like people are so afraid of anything that they don't have experience with the alternative of yet. You know, it's like the people that I still know someone still pays the old Southwestern Bell AT&T a massive amount of money for a phone every month, and they're old, you know, because just afraid to make that change. The rest of us either don't have it or pay maybe 10%, 15%, but there are people like that. It'll be the same with the electricity deregulation and that's coming to Lubbock, the competitive market. There'll be tons of people who just will not take a choice. They'll just stay on whatever the most expensive plan is. They'll do it forever. It's just human nature. People are so afraid of something they haven't seen or they don't understand, and yet they engage in a competitive market in every other part of their life every day and enjoy the freedom of being able to punish a store that treats you badly or doesn't clean up or doesn't have the right prices by, you know, removing their business. But when it comes to the most precious thing we have, and that is the children, the next generations of our society, the same people seem to believe that no matter how bad it is, it's still better than any other alternative to just keep feeding the beast that's indoctrinating our children with terrible, terrible things, and at the same time, failing. You might put up with some of the indoctrination you think you could correct at home if they were actually getting a great education. I will tell you that most kids in public school who are educated and getting a decent education are doing so because of what they're getting at home and what they do on their own. I know in my case, it was just my own reading that did a lot. There were a few really good teachers, but they're the ones that encourage that reading. Ron DeSantis in Florida today signed real universal school choice in the state of Florida. That's right. It was their House Bill 1, very similar to what was proposed here, $8,000 voucher in an education savings account parents can use how they want to. They already had a very big school choice program, but it was for it had some restrictions and had a waiting list to get in it because it was only for low-income students. This one has an income qualifier for priority. More on school choice in a moment.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Now, here's a man who thinks you take the good with the bad from an elected official. But when the bad threatens liberty, you throw the bum out. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. So Florida becomes the sixth state in the last 2 years to move to universal school choice. Oh, that's right. I know they tell you all the time, they being the school lobby and all their sycophants and the ignorant and local media. Well, this is a radical, though, that we already have six states with universal school choice. Arizona enacted it for all K through 12 students with state vouchers. Our Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas has signed such a piece of legislation. You already had it in a few other places. And so there goes Florida. Where's Texas? Well, Texas is not in a good position. The Senate appears to have enough votes very likely to pass school choice. All I hear, and I heard it from three different sources in the last 3 days, Friday, I hadn't even asked earlier, but it's time to start looking at it, but somebody brought it up, and then I heard it from two other sources over the weekend, including a legislator, that it does not appear, and that the lobbyists are telling them it doesn't appear that there are anywhere near enough votes in the Texas House to pass school choice. Which means you have a Republican majority that prefers, openly prefers, a socialist model of the most basic thing we can do. I mean, that wants to ignore. In other words, look, we can sit here all day and say, well, they don't realize what's going on. They want to ignore it. No, that's not it. Most of them know it ain't great. And a lot of those people I've met over the years, they have their own kids in private school. By the way, that's one of the most sickening things I've run into in this thing about, there's a bunch of people that just don't like the idea of other people. You know, hey, my kids are in private school. That's kind of like having a house on the right block to them. And the idea that other people could just easily go to private school too bugs them. I mean, isn't that disgustingly sickening? But I'll guarantee you it's the truth for quite a few people, including people I know who have their children in church schools and make a big deal of it. Just had the discussions and it's quite clear. That's their problem. That's disgusting. But it's also disgusting that state representatives who are supposed to owe their loyalty to the good of the state overall and to their voters don't. But we've always known this. We've explained this to you for years and years. Many of these people, whether it's Ken King in Canadian, who was a school board member and the public ed lobby got him elected, or Lambert in Abilene. There's so many of these people whose entire purpose in the legislature seems to be to represent, well, not seems to be, in many cases, very directly in their own words, is to, the people always told me, well, I checked with constituents. I'm not kidding you. And their idea of constituent was the other government, local governments and the elected officials there. Well, like Robert, I called all the county judges. I talked to them. What about the... This goes back to the original concealed carry stuff years ago that I was just deeply involved in. I talked to these guys. Well, I talked to my superintendents. They're not in favor of this. The county judges aren't in favor. Well, what about the voters, the people? What do you mean? It's shock. Some of them, it's shocking you even suggest that they're supposed to care what the regular people think. And that's where we find ourselves with school choice. We find so many members of the legislature who are dedicated and are there to protect, they in their mind, protect the money flow to big local socialist government bureaucracies. And so we're going to have to fight really hard on this stuff. I don't think anything's ever over. We've tried this stuff before. It's tough. This is the best time, though, due to the nation, the mood of the nation. This may be the opportunity of a generation because of what's openly happened in these schools, not just with the COVID lockdowns, but in all over the country, but all the other things that have happened. Dr. Ben Carson has an op-ed on this, or an opinion piece that Fox News published. Everything's bigger in Texas, including school choice. And he cites all the polls, even Texas polls, showing that even 65% of black Texans and 55% of Latinos support education freedom. They support school choice. All the polls are this way, folks. The national polls, too. But your state reps and people don't care. Now, it's rather interesting when Republican numbers are in the upper mid to upper 80% for school choice and Republican state reps literally don't care. I mean, actually do not care. And it won't affect their votes whatsoever. I mean, but when you start getting that the Democrats and their identity politics groups are so captured by this failing model that huge numbers of people who generally don't even pay a lot of attention to politics understand how bad it is for their children and their neighborhood and their families, their extended families. That they're in favor of school choice and you still have people who don't care. And we're used to that for the Democrats. They've openly pledged their support nationally and statewide to the unions, labor unions in general, and particularly teachers and public sector employee unions. Republicans doing that are a whole nother kind of evil. And that's a good word for them because they're evil. They seek to deny basic human rights, basic senses of choice and ability of choice to people across the state so they can protect their highly paid, overpaid superintendents and school cronies. Dr. Ben Carson wrote, the simple fact is school choice works. Governor Abbott's on the right track with his efforts to empower Texas parents. He's not pulling any votes in the legislature. That's what I'm hearing. Studies show children living in states with school choice score better on standardized tests and in their own classes relative to other students. These students are also more likely to complete their education, and studies suggest school choice in charter schools can result in an increase in lifetime earnings down the road. By returning public education dollars to parents, Governor Abbott's helping put families and communities, not government bureaucrats, back in charge of their children's education. That's right. Dr. Carson's right. He said, I know, and he talks about the national voters. You know, the Texas polls shocked the Democrats with big support in all the groups, except upper-class white suburban Democrats. They're about the only ones that gets it. Why? That's exactly what I was telling you before. These are the people that can afford to put their kids in private schools. They don't want everybody else to be there. You know, they're for the little guy until the little guy lives next door or has to ride the bus or sit in the classroom next to their child. They're bigots. Nationally, you got 71% of Americans favoring parental school choice efforts, 73% of Republicans, and 69% of Democrats. And yet you have state reps all in this state who are opposed to it. You need to be asking them why. You need to be calling them and bothering the heck out of them. Now, if they tell you they're for it, they're for it, pretty much any school choice program, fine. Don't let them get away with all this, well, this plan, I'm for school choice in theory, but this plan, that's a lot of bull, folks. They're just playing you. Carson says, I know from firsthand experience the importance of a quality education in a child's life, and he tells a little bit about his extraordinary life story with his mother who insisted on him studying. And he talks about when we were young, we didn't understand why we had to read books while the other kids were out playing. But something worked. My brother became a rocket scientist and I became a brain surgeon. Only in America is a story like mine possible, where an inner city kid grows up to become a neurosurgeon, a presidential candidate, and a cabinet secretary. Our nation's still the land of the free, and the opportunities unlocked by education remain one of the greatest blessings America has to offer. But Dr. Carson says, just like my own mother, Abbott, Governor Abbott realizes education's the pathway to opportunity for Texas children, allowing families, not teachers' unions, bureaucrats, school boards, and zip codes, to decide where their children will empower students to receive the education that best suits their unique needs. Very interestingly, Cameron Abrams, writing for The Texan, had an exclusive interview with former Governor Rick Perry. Governor Perry, who's from rural Texas, about as rural as you can get, and it is rural, not rural, is a big school choice advocate.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
Make your home office or workshop comfortable in both hot summer and cold winter with an energy-efficient ductless AC and heating unit from Hart Heating and AC.
The True Texan Studios uber comfortable with a Hart Heating and AC installed ductless unit, and the energy efficiency as well as ease of installation made it the best upgrade I've made in years.
Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Beat the heat and the cold with a ductless system. Hart. H-A-R-T HeatingandAC.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
Join the Lubbock Sportsman's Club for a meeting featuring Mark Fullingham as he discusses his Marco Polo and Mid-Asian Ibex hunt in the Tian Shan Mountains of eastern Kyrgyzstan. The hunts themselves were at elevations from 14 to 16,000 feet. There's no charge to attend a meeting. Come learn and socialize. Thursday, March 30th, 6:30 p.m. at Cook's Garage, Highway 87 and 114th. The Lubbock Sportsman's Club, Thursday, March 30th at Cook's Garage.
If your business depends on its computers, remote managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Services is a must. Managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service reduces problems and failures by monitoring and maintaining your computers remotely. And when something goes awry, you have an expert to help you immediately with full knowledge of your system. If you depend on your computers, managed services is what you need. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you. jbcs.com.
Attention, big country property owners. Wildfires are no laughing matter. Have you done all you can to protect your property? Winters Dozer Service is ready to go to work building proper fire breaks to protect your big country property. Some counties may have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service today. Don't wait until it's too late and see your property up in smoke. Get in touch now by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Welcome to the show, where Juan Seguin, Sam Houston, and the Alamo are revered equally as Washington, Jefferson, and Concord. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. As I said, Cameron Abrams at the Texan.news had an exclusive interview with Governor Perry. Former Governor Rick Perry said, "I have historically been a proponent of school choice in a lot of different iterations. I think in 1999, when I was lieutenant governor, we just could not get it across the finish line. The rural legislators were concerned that this is going to negatively impact their schools in these small counties. I never thought that was the case," Perry said. "I understand the rural schools. I understand the rural mentality. I understand the rural communities. I've watched it continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller as people left and moved into the cities." He said, "The main reason I'm for school choice is because I think parents do have the best viewpoint to guide their children's education. It's public schools that are funded by the citizens in the state, and parents should be empowered to decide where their children go to school, what they study, and in the preparation for them to step out into the world as adults." Perry also gave his thoughts on what makes school choice the best option for parents and why rural communities are such a focus for school choice advocates. He said, "It's the old vocational ed system, and to many of our rural communities, the kids are not staying there. They're not trained up in the technical fields and technical skills that pay substantially better than they might get the opportunity to go do after a four-year college degree. The argument that school choice is going to take money away from our public schools is really a false argument, particularly for rural communities. The private schools are not going to come into a small rural community. The way I understand it is these dollars will flow into public schools with the focus on these career and technical education training programs. I think that's a genius idea, not only assures those rural legislators that you're not going to lose money, you're actually going to get more money out of your public schools." And this is what he's talking about. This is the compromise deal to basically pay them off to get the votes. "This part of the line is exactly, the story's right. School choice advocates are optimistic their efforts will bring options to parents both in rural and metropolitan areas." It will. "Surveys have found 59% of Texans in rural counties favored vouchers for low-income families, 62% for all families regardless of income." Governor Perry said, "Parents are the most important decision makers in the process, and that if a parent decides what they want their children to be focused on, career and technical ed, or they think they'd like to have an education savings account, or if they're really just happy with their public school and the way it's structured, the way it's funded, all those options should be available." And that's what our school choice stuff allows. Doesn't get rid of the public schools, and if they're so great like the people say, then not that many people are going to abandon them now, are they? You better be calling your state reps now, because it's not looking good for school choice. The word amongst legislators is, "Hey, we might as well quit working. There's not enough votes. You better work on it." My friends, today in Texas history is an important date in the Texas Revolution. It was the massacre at Goliad. Our look at Texas history each day, sponsored by USA Investigations. They provide all kinds of investigative services, criminal, civil. They do witness statements and that kind of thing. They do real employment background checks and much more. You can learn all about them at usainvestigations.net. It was this day, the 27th of March, during a revolution of 1836, that Texas Liberty provided an example of why authority of government should always be held in check by a citizenry that's armed heavily enough to cause those in authority to think twice before abusing such. James Fannin had surrendered to Mexican forces after the Battle of Coleto, the culmination of the Goliad campaign in 1836 and the Revolution. By the way, Isabel and I were there in Goliad at the Presidio and the monument, and back in the spring, May or so of last year, something like that. And my friends, Fannin's expectation was that he and his men would be treated as prisoners of war in the manner consistent with the recognized traditions and rules of war of civilized nations of the time. The Mexican general accepting the surrender, Jose de Urrea, attempted to convince dictator Antonio López de Santa Anna, the Mexican dictator and supreme military commander, to abide by proper custom in the case, but the tyrant was having none of it and ordered Urrea to execute Fannin and his soldiers. To ensure such happened, Santa Anna sent separate orders to Colonel Portilla, who Urrea had left in charge of the prisoners, demanding their execution. He didn't trust that Urrea would go forward with it. On Palm Sunday, the 27th of March, 1836, those prisoners able to walk were formed into three groups and marched into three different directions and then executed by their guard. Quote, the prisoners held little suspicion of their fate, for they had been told a variety of stories. They were to gather wood, drive cattle, be marched to Matamoros, or proceed to the port of Capano for passage to New Orleans, according to the Handbook of Texas. It's now believed that 342 people under Fannin's command were executed at Goliad. If El Presidente, the vile Santa Anna, believed there to be a strong chance he and his power crowd might have suffered from this brutal decision to murder Fannin's troops, it's far more likely he would have shared the opinion of his field general, Urrea, and treated them according to custom. The lesson is that government authority is most just when forced to fear just and effective retribution from those governed. That's why we have to remain armed. My friends, the great Brian Burns and his great collection, The Eagle and the Snake, Songs of the Texians, has one of the most wonderful songs about the massacre at Goliad. It's rare. You rarely hear much about that. It's hard to put in song, but boy, he did it. And I want to close out today's program for those of you listening on radio and live radio stream. Sorry for the podcast people. Can't bring you the beautiful song here. But I want to close out the show with Brian Burns' great piece on those men that gave their lives for our freedom at Goliad. And my friends, with that beautiful song is how the show ended on the radio broadcast today. I have put a YouTube link up to the show, or to the song Goliad, in the show description for today, the little synopsis where I put what's in the show and provide links at prideontexas.com. And I really do recommend you go there and watch it, or search on YouTube for just search for Goliad and Brian Burns and you'll find it. It is was a terrible disaster. And there's a great book by Jay Stout about it. I'll have a link to that there as well. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.